Hi, welcome to the show. Welcome to Penn Weekly. And here we're going to start off on a Tuesday night. Going to talk about the NFL and a little about the Lakers here. And right now we have our special guest, Sun Penn, on the line here. Sun, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. I bet you're feeling really good after the big Niner win on Sunday night. What'd you think about that game?
I thought it was an interesting game. I actually thought that the Patriots would come back when they were down, even though they were only down. They were not only, but even though they were down 28 points, I thought they had a good chance of coming back because they could score in three
minutes. Did you think they were going to win the game at any point?
What do you mean?
When
they were tied, I thought they had a good chance of winning. Was I worried? As a 49er fan, I wasn't really worried. I kind of assumed that the Patriots would win. But at the same time,
really?
When it was tied, I was thinking that the Patriots would win. But right after the 49ers got that kickoff return and touchdown, I still thought they were going to tie it, the Patriots. But when they didn't, I didn't think they were going to win after that. I mean, when it's tied, it's basically 0-0 game.
That's true. Just for our listeners out there, Sun is a lifelong Niners fan, a long-suffering Niners fan, though. Wasn't very active in following the team until recently for some reason. I don't know why, but
no, I've always liked the team. Know, I've always every year in Madden I picked them completely rebuilt them every year, traded almost every starter.
And I'm actually lifelong Patriot fan, so it was nice to see our two favorite teams go to head to head in a meaningful game. I think that's the first time that's ever happened, where both teams were actually playing at elite levels. And I actually thought the Niners played really well. I wasn't surprised that the Patriots were able to come back, but if they did make a comeback, it'd be the largest comeback in NFL history during the regular season, and also the largest comeback, fourth quarter comeback in NFL history. I didn't know if Patriots had enough in them to come all the way back. So really entertaining game. What stood out for you in that big game there?
Well, I think it confirmed a lot of things about the Patriots that we already knew, that they have a really good offense, kind of a shaky secondary. So nothing really new as far as the Patriots are concerned. We knew they could score.
Oh,
I mean, did they score like 42 points against Buffalo in the second half unanswered? Something like that, right?
They scored
49.
42 unanswered points in the second half against Buffalo. Yeah, but no, you're the Niners fan. You're the resident Niners fan. I mean, what do you think about the Niners? I mean, this is a really big, important win for them, I think. It shows one important thing, I think, is that Colin Kaepernick was the right choice, and he can play. I mean, Chris Collinsworth said he threw a ball 60 miles per hour. I mean, his rockets, firing rockets, nothing right.
He can't throw the ball hard.
They got enough guys to run under him. They got four touchdowns.
He missed that pass to Randy Moss in the end zone where he threw it too low. And you see Randy Moss after the play, he pointed up. Randy Moss wanted to
try to go
for it. He missed that because he was trying to throw this rocket pass. And what they really needed was more air under it, so.
There are a few throws he left out there that he just should have put touch on him, but
the one of Vernon Davis, he missed. Like I said, I think I might have been on record on saying that I think Kaepernick should have started over Alex Smith because he gives him more dimension, especially in trying to stretch the field. I've seen what Alex Smith does. It's a lot of short passes, barely gets there. Stuff like that. So
that was incredible. All touchdowns over 35 yards plus. This rocket cannon arm. So you feeling good about Colin Kaepernick going to the Super Bowl?
I wouldn't. Not so fast. I think there are a lot of good teams in the NFC still.
Who's beating
The Falcons, maybe. Well, people sleep on the Falcons. Falcons can do some damage. They got those wide receivers.
I still don't believe on them.
No, I mean, that's just unfortunate how it is, but the Falcons can be still really good in the playoffs. The Packers could beat the 49ers.
I don't know about that. The Packers lost. First week
that was the first game of the season, though.
I think the Niners have gotten better, and the Packers have gotten worse since then.
How have the Packers gotten worse? The Packers were 2-3. Now they won, like, 8 or 9 in a row.
Oh. They don't have the defense out there. You know, they barely beat Detroit, then they barely beat the Bears. And all they have is Aaron Rodgers. No running game. And, Greg Jennings is still hurt. Clay Matthews.
Greg Jennings plays though.
Oh.
I don't know about Clay Matthews.
He didn't make a difference. He didn't play. Oh, I think he played, but he's not effective yet. I think the Niners are best in the West. Maybe Seattle, but
that's what I'm saying. Like if they lose next week to Seattle, they probably won't win the division.
Is that what happens?
I think the Niners are a half a game ahead of the Seahawks. Are they one and a half or a half?
They're 1.5 games up.
So
they got Niners got 3 losses and then Seattle has 5. So Seattle has to win. And then the Niners have to lose another one. So in order for Seattle to win. Seattle has to win out and then San Francisco has to lose one of the next 2.
No, the 49ers have to lose 2 and the Seahawks have to win 2, right? That's the only way.
Yeah.
So that'll put the Seahawks at 11-5 and the San Francisco 49ers at 10-5-1. So the Seahawks would have 11 wins and the 49ers would have 10 wins. So the 49ers could lose next week and still win the division if they win the week after. I think that game is the Cardinals.
Yeah, so they'll destroy them. Green Bay, they've won 3 in a row. They've destroyed the division. So it looks like it's a battle between Green Bay, San Francisco, and Atlanta. The NFC East is a mess. Do you think the Giants make the playoffs?
They need help to make the playoffs. If Washington wins out, they make it. If Dallas wins out, they make it. If Giants win out, they need help from either the Redskins or the Cowboys losing a game. So. I don't know. I can see the Cowboys doing just enough to not make it, because that's kind of what's been happening the last few years. Or they might make it. I don't know. Neither would really surprise me. The Redskins, depends on how long RG3 will be out, or maybe not with their backup quarterback. It's going to be interesting how that works out. I have a feeling the Giants will be lucky enough this year again to make it in with, like, I don't know, 9-7 or 10-6 record, just barely sneak in and run the table. Who knows?
Yeah, they can. Dallas and Washington do play each other next week, so the Giants do have a chance still, even though they're 2-3 in the division, and they lost all the tiebreakers.
I think Dallas and Washington played the last week of the season.
Oh, they played last week.
Yeah, they played the last week of the season.
Yeah, so it's going to be a really interesting NFC East. I'm really rooting for Washington, actually. Actually, Dallas and Washington. Anybody but the Giants. I just hope these Giants lose. Never score a point the rest of the season.
So bitter.
I do not want them to win. Not a single point. This should be their goal. From a New England standpoint, as a New England fan, the loss wasn't that bad. I was happy that they lost, but, you know, I thought it'd be good for the Patriots. You don't want to peak too early. You want to have that desire, that taste of losing before you enter the playoffs. And the only bad thing is, you know, they'll have to say a wild card game. But you know, I think whoever they pick up, either Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, or Indianapolis, they'll be able to beat. So
you and the Steelers,
I guess. You know,
what about the Ravens? What about the Ravens?
I think the Ravens will win the division, even though they lost three in a row.
Yeah, but then the Texans.
I don't think Cincinnati's.
Oh.
Well, that's the second round. I don't know about that. But, you know, in a wild card game, I think they'll be okay. And then, you know, playing in Denver or in Houston, you know, there's still a good chance Patriots can win since they did beat both teams during the regular season. But I guess what we learned is Tom Brady is still very, very, very good. And he can make all the throws. Now, I guess the question is Tom Brady the best quarterback of all time?
No. Joe Montana has more rings, never lost a Super Bowl. John Elway has two rings, went to five Super Bowls. And the three teams that he lost when he went to the Super Bowl were pretty bad. Those teams were, well, not bad, but they were pretty mediocre. And who else is in the running? Terry Bradshaw?
No way.
No way.
Peyton Manning. I think Peyton Manning's up there.
Peyton Manning. Brett Favre. Dan Marino.
Top five. He's definitely top 10, not top five.
That's a tough. If I had to say right now who the best quarterback of all time is, it might be Drew Brees. I'm just kidding. It's probably Joe. I don't know. I like the 49ers. I like Joe Montana. I like to think he's the greatest quarterback of all time, but maybe not. Maybe Tom Brady's better. Maybe Peyton Manning and Brett Favre are better. So I don't know. I want to see how they're easier to decide when their careers are over who the best quarterback.
Right. Because, you know, you could end up with Peyton and either Brady coming out with another Super Bowl ring after the season. So.
Right, you know, exactly.
It was a good loss for the Patriots. You know, they didn't have Gronk. Gronk be back, and defense improved, and they know they can come back from a 28-point deficit in about one quarter, which is nice. Nice,
exactly.
Nice to know about your team.
It's nice to know that you can come back from a 28-point deficit in 18 minutes or whatever it was.
Especially against the best defense in the league, defensive rating-wise, and also by the eye test, just the speed and aggressiveness. I saw Aaron Hernandez died on the field after getting his helmet nearly knocked off.
Grab with his arm. I saw that play, this guy's going to sleep. Then he got up. For the touchdown later. I
can't believe. Well, the thing is, they actually want to throw him the next play, and he just did not want to touch the football.
He short-armed it, and Eldon Smith intercepted it.
Right, yeah. I was like, I can't believe they're going to happen to this guy again. He just let this guy come around. I'm sure he was not 100%.
I don't think he was there when that happened. That was a big hit. That was a big hit. You got the 49ers have hard safety.
So much speed and strength up the middle with Bowman, Smith, Willis, Whitmer, Golston. Just so much physicality up the middle and speed. Not only are they strong, just incredibly fast.
Well,
so,
Smith, all
the so something looks forward to.
He plays on the edge, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Justin Smith. Don't forget, Justin Smith missed a lot of the third quarter, fourth quarter. He makes a difference. He's a really strong guy who he doesn't get, like, the numbers all the time, but he he takes up a lot of the linemen as far as blocks. He takes up all the blocks, and everybody gets free off of that. He's really important to their team.
Right, right.
I think last year or the year before, he was actually he was voted for the team's defensive MVP over all the other guys.
Right.
So.
He did receive some defensive player of the year votes last year. So he is, he was a big key. He was a big key why the Patriots were able to come back because he wasn't in the game. That was an important injury. But,
hopefully he's okay.
Hopefully these Patriots and Niners meet in the Super Bowl. That'd be really entertaining. Though a big fun
Kaepernick,
one. Now,
wow.
The question is, are you going to get a Kaepernick jersey? Are you going to run out there? Be the next Steve Young.
Oh, double extra large.
Oh man. Well, that's pretty exciting. AFC wise, it looks like who do you think's in out of these three? These three. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Baltimore.
How many spots are left? One?
One for the three. Because I'm pretty sure Indianapolis is going to get to the first wild card.
So you're asking me, Indy, which team, were the teams? Pittsburgh, Baltimore?
Cincinnati.
I say Pittsburgh. I like Pittsburgh. Even though they look bad. But I still like them.
They do have Big Ben. So there is turmoil with Pittsburgh, with Todd Haley and the play calling, and Ben Roethlisberger just not really happy with how things are going in that realm. So I think they'll get that smoothed out, but that's probably the team I'm most afraid of.
As a Patriot fan?
As a Patriot fan, I don't want to see Pittsburgh in there. I'd rather see Baltimore. Just a disaster.
Oh, really?
Disaster Baltimore, Jim. Well, Jim Caldwell's never caught an offensive play in his life. He has to do it for this team. three weeks remaining in the season.
You really couldn't tell that game either, though, huh?
I'm not sure exactly how they scored 17 points.
Didn't he go to the Super Bowl, Peyton Manning?
He did. So it was Peyton Manning who was coach. I think in the Super Bowl, it was Peyton Manning versus the coach from New Orleans Saints, the coaching matchup.
Peyton Manning versus Sean Payton?
Yeah, Peyton Manning versus Sean Payton. That was the coaching matchup. Yeah, he did coach.
Wait, I have a question for you. You think the Patriots should have won for that 4th-and-2 on the on their 12?
Borrow a line Chris Collinsworth. You don't pay Brady all that money to watch the defense try to stop Colin Kaepernick. So I thought so. I didn't think the play was the right play call. I thought they should have did something a little easier. I don't know why he was going to. I think it was a bad decision by Brady. He was going to little guy, Woodhead, on this
little guy. Which one?
Outside. This is Danny Woodhead. It's so short that staying next to Ryan Mallett, goes up to his elbow. These guys they're going to standing next to Ryan Mallett, but Ryan Mallett's maybe 6'7".
Well, Wes Walker looks tiny, too, when he stands next to quarterbacks.
I thought they should have just went to bed and bother Wes Walker somewhere in the middle of the field. I mean, outside the numbers, for a little guy like that, he just threw the ball way over his head. it wasn't a good decision by Brady. So, but I agree with the 4th-and-2. I mean, it's a regular season game, and it doesn't matter if you really win it. It doesn't make too big of a difference if you win or not. But I agree with that call.
I think the 49ers could have put more points on the – they left so many points on the table, I think. Especially in the first half with all the turnovers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They turned the ball over, too. And, you know, fumbles was a big part of the game. 8 fumbles, 7 recovered by the 49ers. Also, a weird fumble play where Frank Gore scored on a touchdown. So, you know, there's a little luck involved, too. But generally speaking, it was a, you know, nicely even match game. And, you know, we got to see him in the Super Bowl. You know, that's what I'm rooting for.
Not me.
Oh,
I'd rather play. No way. I mean, I'd rather
you
have
the 49ers matchup better.
I don't know if they can.
Wait, even the Broncos look really good.
Yeah.
Manning's really firing that ball. Really firing it out there.
You could tell by his forehead.
He's
got the reddest forehead.
I think my favorite part about Peyton Manning this year is
the red forehead?
The car commercial where he's barking out.
Oh, he's talking about
calls into
the satellite radio.
I think that's the best commercial of all time. I think it's pretty funny. Papa Bear.
You know, that one did trick me. I thought he was calling a play.
He's MVP. I think just based on that commercial.
I think that puts him over the top over Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Adrian Peterson could run for 2,500 yards. This commercial still puts King Manning on top.
Yeah, this is icing on the cake. What do you think is redder? What do you think is redder, Peyton Manning's forehead or Tom Coughlin's face in the snow?
You know, we haven't seen Coughlin's face in the snow in a while, but, you know, paint is a big spot on his forehead. I don't know where that comes from. Nobody else has it.
Yeah, I know. I don't get it. He probably has the tightest helmet in the league.
I guess moving on, you know, we got to talk Lakers here. Looks like the Lakers are coming off a 2-game win streak tonight. Pau Gasol, after about 8 games rest, is going back to the starting lineup. Do you think Pau's going to make a difference tonight?
You think he's what?
Going to make a difference tonight. Because, Pau's different tonight's game.
Well, you mean a good one or a bad one, or what do you mean?
What do you think?
I think it'll make a difference. I think that the Lakers will be more efficient. I think, obviously, getting another player back of quality is good for not only the starting lineup, but the bench as well. You don't have to have Robert Sacre eating up 12 minutes a game for whatever he plays, 10 minutes.
I do like seeing him in there.
I do. I'm a big Sacre fan. Had a big dunk the other day.
he is Mr. Excitement. You know, you need that. You need that on the team.
You know, the only thing is sometimes they don't have him on the bench. They don't play their offense in front of the bench in the second half, so you don't get to see him more pumped up. that's the only thing, you know. I wish they played him on, you know, the offense on his side every time so I could see what he does.
You got to sneak over to the other side.
Yeah, you have to quickly pan to see what he did.
Right. So,
but yeah, to answer your question, Pau Gasol, I think he'll do well. I don't think he'll play that many minutes. I hope not, at least, coming back from all this, from his tendonitis. So I think he'll make a difference. I actually think the Lakers will win against the Bobcats.
Wow. You know, Lakers only have trouble with the Bobcats.
They usually do have problems with the Bobcats, but I think they'll win tonight. I think they're getting their offense. I mean, that the last two games on the road trip really helped out. I think with their confidence in the system. So.
Yeah.
I think they'll
also
do well.
Also another big news coming out of Lakerland. Steve Nash is now practicing again. You think he's going to make this big difference everybody's talking about?
Mike Dantoni hopes so, doesn't he?
Let's say he's hoping that another point guard to save his job. Do you think he's going to play Saturday or Christmas?
He said so. I think he said he's going to try to play on Saturday. I think that I think he'll make a difference. I think he'll play on Christmas. He's already practicing, so I think he'll play. Will he play heavy minutes? I don't know. Probably not, but it'll be good to see him back out there at least.
I'm really excited to see Steve Nash on this team. Also, big news coming out of Lakerland: Dwight Howard's confessional with TJ Simers. Talking about the pressure he faces while playing and other things going on. Now, do you think Dwight Howard, is he staying or leaving from that interview? Can you tell?
I think he's going to stay, but I think he won't. I don't think he'll know until after the season. But I think in the end he'll sign a contract with the Lakers. But right now, I don't think he knows. And if you ask him right now, I think he'd say the same thing, that he doesn't know if he'll stay or not. In the end, though, I do think he'll stay because it's such a good environment for him. Although he might not
like Kobe
very much.
does not look happy playing with Kobe at all. Do you think he'll ever take the reins from Kobe?
I don't think so.
He needs that. He's just not a forceful enough personality to be around Kobe, just to be like, this is my team. I'm going to take the ball. You better, demand the ball. I'm going to touch the ball every time. You better pass me the ball. I don't know if he's, willing to take that from Kobe yet. And it'd be nice to see him show that, that type of moxie, but I don't know if it's in him to do something like that.
I don't think he will until after next season, if he's still on the team. I think Kobe will be in charge for this season and the rest of next season. After that, maybe then it becomes Howard's team. But until then, I don't think so.
Really, hoping he shows that fire. But I guess another big news is Kobe Bryant is currently playing about 44 minutes a night for Mike D'Antoni. You think that'll last?
A lot of big news this week.
Yeah.
Do I think it'll last? No, I don't think it'll last, especially when Nash comes back. I think he plays a lot of point guard. He plays a lot of the role of the ball handler on the screen roll, the staple of D'Antoni's offense. So I think once Nash gets back, Kobe doesn't have to bear that responsibility as much. So I think that'll cut his minutes down. So, and Gasol will come back. That'll help out too. So.
Oh, thank goodness. I don't know if Kobe Bryant, too many minutes. It's way too many minutes. Too many shots for this guy. But
it's way too many minutes. I mean, LeBron James played played 45 minutes in the playoffs last year, and this is almost the same kind of intensity in minutes, and it's only December. So I don't know what's going on. I guess they really want to win.
Pretty crazy. Oh, Mike D'Antoni's tired of seeing these losses on the calendar. They've only won three times in the month of December. It is December 18th right now. Clippers and OKC haven't lost since the beginning of November. So they got a lot of room to catch up. Currently sitting in 12th in Western Conference, three games on 500 still. If Mike D'Antoni could play Kobe Bryant 48 minutes a night, he would.
Well, the thing is, The thing is, the Lakers already had a short bench. When they lose Nash and Gasol, your bench gets even shorter. So the starters are going to have to play more minutes. And that's what's been happening. So that's what I'm saying. When Gasol and Nash get back, hopefully the minutes will go down.
Yeah, hopefully it's, so got a lot of ground to cover. About 60-something games left.
Is there no more big news?
I think the next big news is Jody Meeks scoring 25 points. Tell me about Jody Meeks.
He's playing hard. I like it.
Oh, I like it too. It's finally some fire. You know, finally Kobe Bryant. You know, he doesn't want to be a smush Parker. Yeah.
I want to know, can Jody Meeks dunk?
I don't think so. Jody Meeks might have the shortest arms I've ever seen on shooting guard. He has really short arms.
Every fast break, he lays it up. Or he jumps up and has two hands. Oh. He throws it, layup at the rim. I think I've seen him dunk once, but that was after the whistle.
He could shoot, but he can't do very much else. I mean, he could only go right. And once he takes two dribbles, the ball's on the ground. No question.
He's not a bad defender either.
He tries hard. He just has really short arms. It really limits his capabilities.
Yeah.
But, I think after this two-game win streak, feeling really good. On the Laker website, it said Lakers tried to extend their winning streak. If they just won two games, this is a rough season. Really rough season.
It's kind of like a Bobcats last year. Bobcats look to go win two in a row.
It is really excited.
That's pretty bad.
Well, that's pretty bad. Pretty bad. But other NBA news, OKC's on fire. 20-4-1 the past 11. LA Clippers 1-10 look really, really good. And in the East, New York still leading conference despite losing to Jeremy Lin and the Rockets last night. So other than that, the biggest surprise so far is Golden State's record of 6-8. Really impressive. No Andrew Bogut. Do you think Golden State's luck last?
You think they've been lucky?
I don't think
they've been lucky. I think they've been good. Will it last? I think they'll fall back a little bit as the season gets longer. But, no, I think they're good. I think they're a good team. Surprising.
You think they stay?
Actually.
You think they stay in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they probably will make the playoffs.
Yeah, they do have a lot of players.
I think they'll probably be 5-8. They'll fall back a little bit, but I think they'll still make the playoffs.
Yeah.
We'll see
who makes the playoffs. I don't know if the Lakers can make it. I mean, they have a lot of tough teams ahead of them. Dallas, Portland, Houston, and then you have other teams, Denver, Minnesota, Utah. All really good teams there too. So I don't know if it's good or the good winning streak. Get back within the top, bottom eight. I think they can make the playoffs. So it looks like big news. Everyone's still talking about trading Powell. I don't see a possible trade partner for him other than Kevin Love. Whose contract expires after next year.
he's a hard person to trade. He's owed a lot of money. He's probably at the end of his prime. Still end of his prime.
Right.
That's a tough bargain.
I don't know. I don't know if anyone's willing to take him, but Kevin Love. I'm excited for Kevin Love in 2 years. That's what I'm looking forward to. Kevin Love and Dwight Howard on the same team.
That'd be really nice. I'm hoping that happens. Kevin Love does have ties to Los Angeles area. Played at UCLA. I think he lives here or lives in that area too.
Yeah, so. He does live here. Yeah, he still lives in LA. So yeah, you know, 2 years from now, he does not want to stay in Minnesota anymore. It does not look like after what he said last week about being unhappy with his contract, not getting that fifth year. And talking about, you know, just the overall turmoil in the roster of the Timberwolves year after year. So hopefully, I'm really hoping, Kevin Love, 2016. Here we go.
2015.
Oh, 2016.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, even sooner.
Yeah.
By that time, we'll have Jabari Parker, too. I think Jabari Parker.
Jabari Parker.
Lakers are going to get the number one overall, I think, that year too. And, Kevin Love, Dwight Howard.
Yeah, I think they'll get all the good players. LeBron James, maybe.
And LeBron James, oh yeah, that's right. He'll be a free agent that time too. So, looks like 82-0, 2015-2016.
Yeah, and LeBron becomes a free agent in 2014, I think.
Oh, wow. That's even sooner.
Or I should say he can opt out, be a free agent. Same as Love, he can opt out.
Three. Yeah, no, he'll probably opt out. I was looking at the standings here, and I just noticed that after the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Lakers, they lost four in a row, and currently have only won one of the last 10. Games. This is not a good season for the Lakers.
That was a bad loss. No, I don't think it was a bad loss. The Cavs played hard. They played a good game. Kyrie Irving tore him up.
Yeah.
Barrett Dow made a difference.
Oh, he's
that jumper.
Wow. Oh, yeah. I think Kyrie Irving's probably the best one-on-one player in the league right now.
Best one-on-one player?
He has the move. Oh, he has the skills, one-on-one moves and skills. I don't know if you've seen him play against nobodies and has Uncle Drew, but
if Kobe Bryant played Kyrie Irving one-on-one, like they're talking in the summer, Kyrie Irving would win that matchup. Is that what you're saying?
I think Kobe Bryant's a smarter basketball player, and Kyrie Irving looks really good one on one. I want to say Kobe Bryant, but Kyrie Irving looks really good one on one.
Oh, sure. But Kobe Bryant definitely
does. True. I think Kyrie Irving could beat him one on one. He's just more athletic and younger, and Kobe Bryant's stronger and bigger, smarter, but. Yeah, this kid's so fast. So fast, so clever with the ball. Yeah.
So better one-on-one player, better than that kid?
Oh, it's a toss-up with Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd has maybe the... No, actually, I don't know. I have never seen Jason Kidd do a crossover. But,
I haven't seen that yet. Well, yeah, he's good. He's probably top 15 player in the league. Kyrie Irving, not Jason.
Yeah, I'm big Kyrie. I'm a big Kyrie Irving fan. I like watching him play. And
you think? Big Kyrie Irving fan.
Oh, I also like those commercials a lot. Commercials do a big a big part in somebody's likability, I think. They come across really fun and commercial. I generally like them.
Yeah, I think that the commercial really helped his stock a lot. His Uncle Drew commercial, his likability, his marketability, it helped him out a lot.
Yeah, Kevin Love's getting into it too. It's pretty fun seeing Kevin Love try to dunk against these nobodies.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I'm like, you know what? Kevin Love can actually fit in with these guys because he has zero athletic ability. I'm like, you know, he does look like a guy like that, so. Those are really fun commercials. Yeah, well, anyways, what else we got in the news today? Oh, Dodger talk. Real quick. What do you think of the Dodgers spending all this crazy money on Zach Greinke and Ryu from Street Fighter?
What do I think? I think that they're a good move. Did they overpay? Yeah, they overpaid. But they want to be good. They want to be relevant. They want to be the Yankees of the West or the Red Sox of the West. They want to overspend. They want to create a legacy or a dynasty out West. And if you have the money, I guess, can you really fault them? I think every team complains. Every other team's going to complain that either your team doesn't spend enough money or the other team spent too much money. So you can't have it both ways sometimes. So other teams or fans of other teams say that Dodgers are just going to outspend everybody. If they were in the same situation, they would want their team to spend as much money as they could if they had it. So is it unfair?
Right.
Not necessarily, because if you look at the past winners for the World Series, other than the Yankees in 09 or 010, I can't remember, 010, not 010, but 10.
Or the Phillies.
They didn't really spend that much money. The Giants, they're probably, I don't know the numbers, but I'm guessing they're probably either average above average.
They're a little below. They're about 44.
Okay, so.
44, yeah. 40, 50. So.
And they won two of the last three, right?
Right.
Yeah, the Cardinals.
I don't think so. Big deal.
No. I mean, it gives you a better chance, of course. The Yankees are good every year, but it doesn't guarantee them a World Series. So, I guess that's why baseball. They can complain all they want, but at the same time, they're getting a lot of the luxury tax money the other teams. So, I don't know. You can look at it two ways.
Yeah, if you look at the numbers, I mean, baseball is just going to get incredibly rich. Every team, I think the next contract, every team gets an extra $25 million, plus with the revenue sharing, with the luxury tax, and then the big baseball contracts, all these local cities are getting, like the Reds got a massive amount of money somewhere in the 20 million contract for 3 years. So even the Reds are making money. So I'm not worried about the numbers of baseball. I'm just more worried that all these moves were just handcuffed the Dodgers into oblivion. But like Magic Johnson said during the press conference during Zach Greinke, he said, "What do you think about all this money spending?" He's like, pretty much, he says, "We want to win." And as simple as that.
Yeah.
So hopefully all these moves translate into wins. And I love to see a winning baseball team. Pretty excited about that.
Me too.
Another big news, just maybe 20 minutes from my house here, the Angels snatching up big league slugger Josh Hamilton. Do you think this is the right move for the Angels?
Yeah, that's a great move for the Angels. They didn't make the playoffs last year, did they? So they needed to improve. They've got a great outfield now with Trout and Hamilton, and you could put anybody out there. It's going to be a pretty good center outfield.
Brennan Wells or Trumbo or.
Yeah. So then you've got Trumbo, so Morales maybe. A lot of good hitters. And a lot of other kind of hitters, a lot of grinders. Angels always have a lot of grinders. So.
Social ball. Is that a good move?
Yeah, I think it's a good move. Did they overpay? Yeah, they overpaid. But what can you do? You want to make a splash. You want to find the player you want. Sometimes you have to, most of the times I would say you have to overpay. that's what happened.
Right. I was actually surprised that that the Angels were able to acquire him. I thought he was definitely staying with the Rangers. I mean, I guess the Rangers weren't willing to commit longer than 2 years or 3 years, and you know, the Angels were like, no one. You know, I'm not worried about your substance abuse problems. I'm actually not worried about him. I think he's fine. I don't think he's going to really relapse at all. I think the biggest concern for Josh Hamilton is his strikeout rate and his ability to strike out in three pitches game after game. I think that's the scariest thing.
Hopefully that doesn't last.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So that was my only concern. But
how he just swings at everything.
I do go to a few Angels games. I do go to a few Angels games every year, so I'm excited to see that. Excited to see Trout, excited to see Pujols, excited to see Trumbo and Josh Hamilton really try to hit doubles in the gaps there at Angel Stadium. Not very many homers are hit in that stadium, but that's okay. So good for the Angels, you think? Yeah, it's really hard to predict who's gonna make the playoffs in baseball because you know you gotta deal with so many factors like pitching and just goofy stuff in baseball. But do you think what do you think of the outlook for these two teams? Think they're looking pretty good?
I don't know. Look at the Mets. They outspent a lot of teams and they've been bad. So it's hard to say. Sometimes you spend money on the wrong people. And that might happen with the Dodgers. Hopefully not, but as a Dodgers fan, it might. So,
yeah.
I was wondering
why
I was wondering why the Dodgers never went after Josh Hamilton.
Oh, it's because they have three outfielders. They're paying $20 million each.
But they could have just traded. Ethier. I trade Ethier.
If you could, I mean, who's going to take Ethier's $100 million 5-year contract right now? He just signed over the summer, so. Making $100 million in the outfield.
No, the thing is, nobody. I'd say the Dodgers will flip the bill. They'll pay to play for another team.
Can you really spend $100 million on an outfield? I don't know. It's crazy.
Why not? In this new Dodger management era, what have they done with money that hasn't been deemed irrational? Everything they've done has been either crazy or unbelievable. Why not send Ethier out and pay for his contract and sign Josh Hamilton for $150 million? Why not? I mean, would anybody think not?
That's just insane. This is...
I would have blinked an eye.
$40 million pitcher.
If I saw that, like on the internet or on a crawler, ESPN crawl, I'll be like, oh, okay. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Nothing short of nothing financially will surprise me with that the Dodgers do now under this management.
Well, it's incredible. I think Clint Kershaw has a chance to be the first ever $40 million player at 23.
Yeah. Who knows? He might be the first $40 million player.
Yeah, this is incredible. Who's next?
I don't know why the Dodgers never went after Hamilton, but, you know, I guess they didn't want to pursue that avenue. I don't know why, but... Well, I know why, because money, but if that's the reason, I find it hard to believe sometimes that the Dodgers say that we couldn't do it because of money reasons. Well, they just spent so much money on all these other players.
It's nearly $1 billion of players.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. All right. Well, you got anything to plug?
No, I don't. X Factor The Voice, I think, finals this week, but that's about it. I'm not on them, but I hear they're popular.
All right, then. Well, it looks like, you know, we got a Laker Bobcat game catch up to right now. But all right, everybody, thanks for show. See ya.